You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Time to bring the bass back.
All right, you guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Temple of Hoop podcast. I'm your co-host, Coach Mabels, aka Jay Mabes, here as always with the bro Kings. Kings, what's going on with you, my boy?
We're doing solid this week.
All right, this week we got a special guest. Anthony Duckett covers the Houston Rockets as a contributor for the Apollo media in Houston. Anthony, what's going on with you, my man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm happy to be here, man. I appreciate it. How about y'all?
It's good, man. It was good. We always like to have, you know, because it's hard, like, talking about the whole league. We like to tap in with, like, local media who gives us more of a, you know, a dial on what's going on with teams than what we may see, because – I know we were having you on, so I watched a few Rockets games this week, but I'm not, you know, all the way locked in like you have been.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to have this discussion.
I'm excited, man. I'm probably add to my resume, man. I'm looking forward to this. It's a lifelong achievement.
Hey, you're the second guy who said that, man. We must be doing it right, King. He's the second guy in a row who said that. But before we get to your Rockets, man, let's talk about the a former Rocket. Don't mean to bring up any hard feelings. Joel Embiid. And James Harden magically has shed the fat suit since his time in Philly has begun. Two great games. Philly's 2-0, cruised to 2 wins so far. Harden nearly a triple-double in both games, averaging somewhere around 27-12, shooting it well, moving well, looking spry. Him and Embiid are already BFF. You can look at the post-game interviews. Yes, we'll start with you, Anthony, the guest, man. Well, as a former Harden supporter, or you still support him, but a guy who had to cover Harden for some years, what are you seeing in Philly right now so far, these first couple games?
Well, first off, man, the guy is the best when it comes to telling his employer what he wants. I've never been able to, you know, accomplish that where I tell the employer, I want to change departments, I want to raise, I want this much money only. You know, I need to take some notes because he's great when it comes to that. But no, I mean, he has actually been a really good fit with Embiid. I had questions about how that would work out because Embiid's not a rim runner. You know, Harden, at least with Capella, was really good with, you know, guys who were lob threats.
Right.
And that really isn't Embiid. But, what we've seen so far, especially today, that pick and pop is disgusting. I mean, you really can't stop that. You know, when it comes to that pick and pop, there's no way to stop that. Also, I think that, you know, Tyrese Maxey has actually been elevated with having Harden, you know. Now, they need a little bit more on Tobias Harris. I'm not sure if he really kind of understands, you know, his role with Harden there or if there's things that he has to still figure out. But and they also lost a lot of their depth. I think not having Curry is going to hurt them. You know, Seth Curry is a 40% three-point shooter. But nonetheless, I mean, they had Harden, you know, playing a point role, which they really didn't have a pure point. Well, Ben Simmons was a point forward, kind of their point guard. Obviously they didn't have anything out of him this season. But you know, them having Harden playing that point role, you know, I think it opens up a lot for Tyrese Maxey. It is incredible how Harden can score 4 points against Sacramento. And then all of a sudden he's got 29-16 once he gets traded. But the trade obviously helped them out a lot. If his he still has some hamstring issues earlier this season. If the hamstring injury or woes are no longer a thing, I mean, him and Embiid is tough. That's tough.
Yeah, I think, and that was before I handed you, because I think just on your point, you know, Embiid's not a live threat, but his role numbers have always been great. And he's got him in part, that pick and roll is just, you saw it. The first couple games is just deadly. You can't switch it because Embiid is a top-tier post player and Harden's great in ISO. So you either fighting over where Harden's a great passer, finding shooters on the weak side, or they just dice you up in a two-man game. So that, I thought that was a, you know, a great point you made as far as the pick and roll partner. Kings, go ahead. What do you think, man? I know you called for this trade a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, I like the it's the really what I think takes it to the next level, because, you know, Embiid, he's very nimble on his feet, he's very athletic, even though he's not a, you know, above the rim type of big who's going to catch lobs and stuff. He's going to be able to catch dump offs and catch passes in traffic and be able to finish in traffic. And that's just as good as in fact, even better than a lob step, because you're not playing for the easy dunk. You're giving it to a guy who can catch the ball and finish over guys. So he doesn't need a perfect look to get, you know, the 2 points. And then you have the ability, his shooting abilities has just gotten better every year. I mean, he plays how, like, you know, AD would envision himself to play, like, basically. You know, he really can shoot the three. He really can shoot off the dribble as a big, and he's comfortable catching and shooting. I mean, I saw so many pick and pop plays where he was just in that tween area, just, you know, jab him, you know, he catches the ball, doesn't panic, jab, creates a space, shoot, raises up, shoot, and it's easy every time. Like, and like he said, he's never been that open in his whole career.
He hasn't. Yeah, he hasn't.
It's just so easy for him with Harden, and like, because like you said, they can't switch it. They can't switch it, because if you switch it, you're cooked. Embiid is winning every time, and it's like now you putting your bigs and your guards in no man's land against one of the best passers we have in the NBA. I mean, Harden, for all his faults, for all his, you know, critiques, he's always been underrated as a passer. I think many people have attributed his passing ability to his usage, but he's really been a pick and roll maestro, as I like to call him, for years now. So he's thriving. I think, like you said, for Philly, I think he's really going to come down to Tobias. I think John Rivers said that too on Twitter. It really will come back to Tobias, because they lost, you know, because they did get better, because they, you know, even though they lost Seth Curry, they don't have a shooter. They got James Harden for Seth Curry and Ben Simmons effectively. I don't think the Drummond miss will be as bad as long as Embiid is healthy, because you're going to play Embiid most of the minutes anyway. But you still want another shooter. Some people are saying, like, you probably should have pushed for Patty Mills. Like, I don't know, maybe throw in a second so they could have gave you Patty back. Or maybe you can find somebody who's just a 3-point guy in the buyout.
Because we know that Danny Green experience, baby.
Yeah, you know that's not who you want to rely on. So just finding someone in the buyout market, maybe Gary Harris, maybe Terrence Ross, somebody like that can come in and fill that void for you. So I think if they get somebody like that, that'd be great. But that, I mean, all the talk about Maxey wasn't going to be improved, I didn't buy that. I think Harden's at the stage of his career, he's not trying to carry the scoring load. He's trying to use his passing more. And that's the one thing I noticed in Brooklyn. He's trying to use his passing a lot more in this stage of his career. So he's happy to play in Brooklyn, because, I mean, in Philly, because he knows when it gets tough and it's hard for him to create separation and outside, it's like, oh, I could just dump it down to this, you know, 7-foot all-timer and let him go to work instead.
Yeah. I think it was just a savvy move. You can talk what you want about the morals behind it or the code, quote unquote. But I think he just looked at, you know, KD's in and out the lineup. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen with Kyrie. He was like, I got to bust a move, or it's a chance I could be playing playoff games by myself. This is before they found out they were going to lift the mandates, of course, right?
Right.
So that's probably in the back of his head. Like, I'm not trying to be out here in my age 32 season, you know, doing the carrying thing again. But, you know, I think it's going to be the rare trade, I think, that works out for both teams. Both teams looking for what they got, something that they were looking for. So it is what it is. We'll see how it's only been a couple games, but it's promising. Real quick answer for both of you guys. Do you think, based on what you're seeing the first two games, are they in that upper echelon that Milwaukee, Miami, you know, Chicago? I think me and Kings are both still waiting to see a little bit more of Chicago when they get healthy. But do you think they're in that Miami, Milwaukee tier now with those two?
Easily.
Okay.
I think
okay.
so too, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
okay. So. All right.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th.
Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's happening now? We got to talk about Anthony's home team. You know, me and Kings rock with Jalen Green because of the Cali connection. Always support the West Coast. I was telling Anthony beforehand, the G League Ignite team, they were based out of Walnut Creek. So I actually got to see, you know, a couple workouts and those guys would play a little bit over the course of that year that Jalen was down there. So I'm always going to support him. He's a very cool dude. So just, you know, Rockets are their last in the West right now. But as you told me, it's full tear down mode right now. It's not the record's not going to be end all be all right now. So just in general, Anthony, let us know, though, where are you with the state of the Rockets right now in general?
Well, I mean, right now, again, it's a rebuild. So it's tough for a lot of people to really understand. You know, fans don't ever want to experience a rebuild.
Right.
Especially a complete teardown where, you know, you were, you know, consistently 8 straight seasons, 50-plus wins in playoffs every year. You know, so right now they're, I've always thought a rebuild takes, if you have control of your picks and you're using your picks well, I think a rebuild is about 3 years. I think back to OKC and the 2010s when they, you know, when KD, Russ, Harden, or even Memphis recently is a fast track where they, you know, they're a lot better now from just where they were 2 years ago. But they've got some pieces that they've been trying to kind of figure out, you know, what they have. I think you got to figure out if your coach is the right piece. I'm not really sure if Silas is a guy who will be there when you're good again. There's really not a lot of, you know, plays being drawn up. It's more so players have the autonomy, independence, freedom to kind of figure it out, which, that's, you know, yeah, when you got young players and, you know, 19, 20 year old players, you know, they need someone that can kind of be more on them. Like, we're doing this, we're going to run this play, you figure it out, you know? And I think, you know, as far as Jalen Green, they got some individual pieces. I like Jalen Green. He's had some, it's unpopular to say this, man, but when you have a 19-year-old wing, he's like 180 pounds. He's skinny, soaking wet, you know? He has some highs and lows, you know? He's had some, you know, a streak where he play very efficiently, very well. And then he hit that wall as a rookie where he didn't. The last 5 games, he's averaged like 18 points a game on 51% from the field and 47% from three. Now, the three-point numbers are impressive because he's still been kind of trying to work on his form. You know, they've tinkered with his form a lot, just trying to find out where he's comfortable. He also has to get a little bit more confident when it comes to taking more shots. He's only averaging 12 shots a game. You know, second overall pick, you know, I want to see him get 20 shots a game. If you shoot, you know, 4 of 20, yeah, I mean, that's fine. Like, I'd rather you take the shots and just get more comfortable, you know. excuse me, he's so athletic that he was trying to dunk on everybody early in the season, and you know, he was getting mauled at the rim because he's just so skinny. The refs aren't calling fouls, so he has had to kind of figure out how to be a little bit more crafty around the rim. Last few games, coming before tonight at least, you know, he's trying to act his layup package, figuring out, I'm so acrobatic in the air, you know, maybe it's more so a matter of me acting on layup package. I don't got to try to dunk on there, but I can still finish around the rim and get buckets, you know. So I think it's a little bit of that. I also think that he would be a little bit he's been a little bit better around with having Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder has been looking for Jalen Green. You know,
to take a bow, Kings. Schroeder is Kings, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Half court lob, man.
Oh, tonight, yeah, he caught a few of them. It was a questionable trade for me because the Rockets really believe in Deshaun Nix in the G League. And obviously, Kevin Porter Jr. is a guy they have playing point. So if you have a vet like Dennis Schroeder, then that's taking minutes away in theory. But their general manager, Raphael Stone, was answering questions, and he said he does not believe that having Schroeder stunts the development of any of the young guards. You know, it's not so much tied to playing time or minutes per se to develop. Right. You know, and one of the benefits of Schroeder is that he's looking for Jalen Green. When he's on the court, he's actually looking to feed Jalen and get him set up for open opportunities and looks, which is different than KPJ. KPJ is not a pure point guard, obviously. There's not a lot of true pure point guards anyways in general in the league now. But I always thought KPJ is more of a guard, you know, player to, you know, get his buckets and create gravity based on him being able to, you know, hit his shots, get downhill, and open up opportunities for open teammates, other players. Him just being a pure point guard, a pure facilitator, you could tell he was trying to be a pass first guard, a little bit of overthinking, where he was missing reads or, you know, missing passes. Like at one point he had more turnovers and assists, and it was more so an indictment on, again, him trying to overthink to learn the point guard position.
Right.
To where he finally realized, like, I can play point guard without having to be a pass first or a pure traditional point guard. I could be my own style. Because, I mean, we're in a positionless era of basketball anyways. If you're labeled a point guard, it doesn't mean you got to be Chris Paul. You know what I mean? Like, how many Chris Pauls are even in the league nowadays, you know?
Right.
Besides him.
Right.
So, I mean, they got stuff to figure out. They like Sengun as a future big, and I like Sengun as well. He has had a tough adjustment from the Turkish league to the NBA. Some players, you know, can make that transition easier than others, like Luka per se as a rookie. He admitted that early on he couldn't really play more than 20 minutes because the conditioning was a problem for him. You know, he's also gets Betty in the fouls. I mean, that guy is a walking foul. You know what I mean? So, and it's pretty clear with Silas that he doesn't necessarily feel comfortable and confident when Sengun gets 3-4 fouls. He yanks him. He has, you know, it's only going to help Sengun to learn how to play through fouls if he literally has to do it. If you yank him whenever he gets 2-3 fouls, he's never really learning how to play when he's in foul trouble. So they got some of that stuff to work through. I was surprised they did not trade Christian Wood at the deadline, Eric Gordon as well. They tried to offer they had first-round picks on the table for Eric Gordon, but late first-round picks. And they felt like, you know, the veteran presence that he brings, professionalism standpoint, was worth more than the late first round pick. I understand it a little bit because you can trade him again and try to trade him again in the offseason at the deadline. The same pick's probably going to table late first round pick. You won't get anything better than that at this point. He's got one more year on his contract guaranteed. The last year after next year is only if he wins the title or if he's an all NBA player, I want to say.
I remember that deal when he signed it. And everybody was like, wow, why did he sign that? I remember
it's a Daryl Morey special, man. Daryl Morey is a guy. Christian Wood, I don't think he's a long-term answer. I don't think they think that either. They try to trade him at the deadline. He's got a year left on his contract. Said he wants a max deal. He's not a max player.
He's not getting that anyway.
I mean,
I remember I used to be a big Christian Wood guy, and then somebody told me, he was like, you got to watch him play. And then I watched him play, and I was like, okay, I get it. The idea of him, and when you said to actually watch how he plays and approach the game on both ends, and he could just be, because Detroit was bad, Houston's bad, he might just be like in pure mercenary mode right now. So I'll give him that, but it's not much conducive to winning at this point for him. But and some guys are in the league to back chase, so I'm not hating on him. But I'm just saying, any team that's trying to win is not going to, you know, give him big dollars. So I understand it.
Yeah, I mean, the best situation for Christian Wood, in my opinion, is if he's probably the third best player on a true contender. You know, not even the second best player. If he's the third best player on a title team, it's probably the best situation for him. And I don't knock the guy for saying he wants a max deal. Every player should say that, to be honest. They should say that. Doesn't mean he will get it.
Right.
But they should at least say that they want to get the bag. He has had some issues on defensive end, man. He gets,
guess what?
He gets... man,
yeah.
I've always thought the simplest way to defend is to switch heavy. Not easy, but simplest way to defend is just a switch. He gets lost on switches, man. He gets lost on them switches. He gets confused, slow to rotate. I mean, it's bad. And he's not a rim protector. Obviously, that's not necessarily his strength. But just not even just that. I mean, on Friday he went 3-for-13 from the free throw line.
You know, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. For a guy who's a stretch big, his free throw struggles are crazy. You know, That's weird. But I saw that you brought up Jalen Green. I remember Kings, like, he was a big Jalen Green fan, but he said because his body was so frail, he brought up, he didn't expect a lot of early success. But he was like, when he gets his body right, he loves that, you know, loves the potential. So Kings, go ahead and talk about, you know, what you saw.
Yeah, he brought up a good point about how, you know, Jalen Green's, his body prevents him from playing the way he wants. He's definitely somebody who's aggressive, wants to attack and finish over guys. I saw that a lot today against Zubac. Tried many times, but unsuccessfully, to try and dunk on Zubac. And I really, it's just really, he's just not strong enough. So Zubac's just bodying him and preventing him from getting the angle in the air needed to finish those dunks. But once he puts on weight, once he gets to 225, all those dunks are going to start going in. So he has the right mentality. He's just not at the level of development to finish those plays off. But he has the skill set. He has the, you know, the shooting ability, the ability to create off the bounce. He's athletic, so he can have a flashy layup package, especially because he's a creative type of hooper. He loves to, you know, to mix things up and to keep defenders guessing. But he's young and he's small. So he's like, he just needs to, you know, develop and get older. I was impressed with Sengun's footwork. Obviously, you know, coming from Europe, he's going to have to adjust to the pace of the NBA as well as the rules of the NBA. You know, him having trouble with fouls doesn't surprise me. It's a more physical game overseas, whereas the NBA, you know, you got to watch how you, you know, play physical on defense. Right. But I love his footwork. I love his intelligence. I think he's going to be a really good big. I was never enamored really with Christian Wood. Even last year, I just felt like he was an empty numbers guy. Just I just have an aversion to stretch bigs who actually can't really shoot and they can't actually play center. You know what I mean?
You're just a big forward.
Yeah, you're a big forward. And, like, you're not athletic enough to actually guard on the perimeter. Like, you know, like, someone like Bobby Portis, who's not that good defensively as a rim protector, but can actually rebound and box out and play center. He can actually play center, and he actually can shoot. So, now, that's a real stretch five. Christian Wood isn't that because he's small. You know, he's not that fat. He's like, you know what I mean? If he had defensive of capabilities of Thad Young, you know, he's not in trade talks. You know what I'm saying? He's not in trade talks. But it's like he's lacking defensively. He has flaws in his game offensively. Third best guy on the contending team is too much for me. I'll probably say fourth, maybe even a sixth.
Okay.
Yeah, so teams are deep now, so I'm with that. Anthony, you brought up you glazed over the part about the coaching. You know, I'm kind of unsure about Silas, so dip into that a little bit from that side of it. You talked about the players. Talk about, you said maybe there's a little bit too much freedom offensively on the team, so go ahead, go into that a little bit.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's not a lot – there really hasn't been a lot of drawing up plays for a young team. I think that's what you need. You actually need a veteran presence, a stern, you know, disciplinarian, if you will. A lot of the offense has more so been, you know, guys just to kind of figure it out. The young guys, you know, kind of, you know, willy-nilly, a lot of autonomy, independence, freedom for them to just, you know, figure out what works best for them or figure out kind of on the fly.
Right.
there's not a lot of coaching being done or as far as offensive plays being drawn up, sets. They do a little bit more post this season than they did last year because of Sengun. But aside from that, I mean, again, he's not drawing up a lot of plays. Now, last year, he was relying on John Wall a lot. He said that him and John Wall were very close. You know, he said that John Wall was kind of a coach on the floor, you know, for him. And that makes sense because obviously John Wall's a veteran, you know, multi-time star player, point guard especially. Without those eyes on the floor, you know, it's more so been him allowing the players to figure it out. And it doesn't really work when you have a very young team like this.
Right.
I remember when they were struggling real bad last year, I remember Silas helped Carlisle design that flow offense.
Yeah.
That they used in Dallas. And it was kind of the same thing. But, you know, you got, you know, Luka Doncic is special.
Yeah.
You got that, you know, veteran players around now. You know, Seth Curry was there when he was there. Porzingis had been in the league. Right. So you got vets. So you got all young guys. Maybe a little less freedom is probably the way to go. But I just wanted to get your touch on Sam. I remember you said earlier, he might be like a bridge guy to the guy you find when his team is ready to take off.
Yeah, that's kind of my thoughts. I mean, when you're in a rebuild, I think a rebuild takes about 3 years in general. This is year two of the Rockets' complete teardown. During that time, you have to figure out if you have a coach or if you don't. I don't really think that Silas is the long-term answer. Also, to be fair to him, he wasn't brought in to coach this team.
He
thought he was going to be coaching, you know, Harden and Russ and those guys. Now, he has said that he would have still taken a job even if he knew what would have happened as far as Harden and Russ being gone. And I think
you got to say that.
Yeah, I mean, and he also was an assistant for like 3 decades. So he probably would have taken the job regardless. Right. But I can't imagine that he's really enjoying this job or really having a lot of fun per se, you know? Right. So personally, I don't think he's going to be the long-term answer. But again, he also really hasn't been, there's not really been a lot of drawing plays up, you know, hey guys, we're going to run this, do this. He's not a disciplinarian, a veteran presence. He's still kind of finding his way. He's finding himself as a young head coach, you know, first time head coach. So that's kind of my thoughts on that. I mean, if he was coaching the Lakers, a veteran team, then that'd probably be a better fit versus a young guys who need you to be on them and say, we're doing this, this only. That's not really his personality.
Hey, like we say in the pre-show, Lakers will be hiring, baby. Hey, the interview line will be open. So, last thing we got to discuss. So, once again, Giannis getting a little shade from a former player. this all happened in the past 3 weeks. So, 2 weeks ago, T-Mac says Giannis would have struggled in his era. And then 2 days ago, Charles Oakley says that Giannis will be a bench player in the 90s, which King's about to get on me because I'd be the main one saying that this generation doesn't respect the old generation, but it's been the complete opposite. So this is just in the last eight. This has been a full calendar year. So that just happened. And then you had Steven Jackson said Middleton was the Bucks' best player. Perk called him Robin. I'm going to get into that in a minute. But, yeah, so just what do y'all think? We'll start with you, Kings. You know, I know you be defending Giannis. What do you think this comes from? Like the lack of, like, acknowledgement of his greatness by just a lot of guys. Like T-Mac was respected, you know what I mean? Oakley was respected, you know what I mean? So, like, for them to come out and say stuff like that about a guy who's obviously trending towards all-time great status and probably going to have a top 10 resume, because we think his resume is going to be top 10 when all is said and done. What do you think is the issue there, or like the lack of, you know, acknowledgement?
I feel like we deal with this type of situation with every time with the next quote unquote best player in the game. And you, how many of these convos did we have about LeBron when he was playing? You know what I mean? It's just this. You know, they want to, you know, a lot of guys who went to war with some of the best of their era, you know, T-Mac, he went to war with Kobe. Oakley, they went to war with MJ.
Right.
You know, they play the Hakeems of the world. They played guys with different types of abilities. So when they see somebody who's, like, physically dominant, right, but has some fundamentals to work on, lacking in some type of skill set, that in their mind it's like, well, we play guys who were athletic too, but they were the most skilled in the game. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's no way you can hang with us. But it's like, they take it too far because, you know, it's like, bro, we watch Sean Kemp of the world.
Right, yeah.
Use the athleticism. We watched old boy on the Hornets before he got big.
LJ. You know, Lord, LJ. Grandmama, baby. Larry Johnson.
Use his strength to, you know what I mean, to be successful for a short time. Like, it's possible, You know, it's not even possible. Like Giannis, because he's improved his skill set every single year. If you drop this Giannis off that era, I'm not saying he's going to have the uber efficiency numbers, obviously, because it's a more physical game. They're not going to just let him, you know, run up open space layups and dunks. But he's for sure being – he's going to be for sure able to get 25. You right. know, he's a physical guy. He's yeah. going to for sure get his 25.
It'll be on like 49, 50%.
Yeah, 45 to 49. Yeah, it'll be on the 45, 49% yeah. because, you know, it's a less space error. But he for sure get with enough touches, he's for sure getting his 25. Like, you're not going to have an – bro, we watched it. It's not enough dudes in the 90s going to be able to bang with right. guys with the whole game. Bro.
Like, I'll be like, you know, I rock with that. Yeah. I just got to – like, I mean, Jamal McGlure made an all-star game.
Right.
You
know what I
mean? Like, that's not right. He had a good – you understand, like, those type of guys were stuck in the all-star game. So it's not like – you know what I mean?
If you want to talk efficiency going down, I'm all for it. Like, yeah, the numbers is going to look different for sure, but – come on, bro. Like that's not like bench player, really.
Like, yeah, right. Like, you feel me? Horace Grant was starting in the finals, man. Come on, let's be real. Anthony, what are you? You closer to my age, so what do you think about what some of the OGs are saying?
Yeah, I mean, same thing. It's like, you know, you can't convince me that a Giannis, a player like him, would be a bench player coming off the bench in the 90s. It's like that's absolutely cap. Again, the efficiency would definitely, you know, again, efficiency might take a tumble because there's a more physical era. But I also think Giannis is actually built for more of a physical type of a playing style. I mean, he added on like 50, 60 pounds of muscle since he entered the league. So, you know, the whole idea that, you know, Giannis would not have been able to even start back in the 90s is wild to me. And I don't know if it's because he's an international player. I know a lot of even current players now, I feel like don't really give Giannis his credit. Definitely the OGs don't give him his credit. Maybe that's the reason why. But, you know, you're not going to be able to convince me that if you were just to put Giannis on any team, frankly, in the 90s, that he's going to be on the bench. You know what I mean? Like, that's just a wild thing to even say or think about.
Yeah, so that was the wild part to me. And, you know, because the tweet I put out, I caught some shade from Kendrick Perkins. You know what I mean? Asked him to show him my credentials, whatever. you got to pull out the whatever I played part of a conversation. We just talking basketball. It's never that serious, man. It's never that serious. Shout out Perk. I still follow him. I still watch him. We just had a little tiff, but come on, bro. Let's don't pull that card. Just because we had a disagreement on a basketball issue, but it is what it is, man. make sure you follow. I had to end with that, man. Make sure you follow the homie Anthony Duckett. He's good people. He's following the Rockets. Don't let this nice wedding picture on his profile fool you.
It's actually not my wedding. Everybody asked if that's my wedding. I actually was at a cousin's wedding. I took
cousin's
that
wedding. I said you not my wedding. My man is holding the chin hairs. Real you an 80s baby like me. that's that pose. But again, he covers the Houston Rockets. Contributor for Apollo Houston. Talk about your podcast too, man.
Yeah, so I mean we record several times a week. Okay. Obviously we do post games, pre games. if there's any kind of breaking news, you know, we cover that as well. The initial Apollo is all Houston based. So if there's anything from a baseball team, the Astros or the Texans or the Rockets, we would actually have put much more focus on our Rockets presence on that particular site channel. So we actually rebranded that in the last year or so. But yeah, I mean, anything, whether it's pregame, postgame, you know, we have Rocket Spaces that we do, also hosted by Apollo. So check us out.
Sure. And it's called Filling Stats, right? Is that what it's called?
Oh, no, that's different. That's different. That's a different podcast. I thought you were talking about Apollo.
Okay. That's about everything. I've seen a couple things. Let us all know, man. Plug it, man. Plug it.
No. Yeah. So Filling Stats, that's something I do with two of my dogs, man. On Fridays, we record. We talk about all sports, not just Houston sports. I mean, any kind of sports, whether it's NFL, NBA, baseball, boxing, you know, that's something that we discuss literally all sports, any kind of headlines, topics.
Okay.
That's on Filling Stats. Apollo's what I was referring to from a standpoint of where we cover all things Houston, whether it's the Astros, Texans, Rockets, whatever have you. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I kind of cover. I used to actually blog for the last 3 years. I was blogging for the Rockets as well on the Fan Sided channel. The last 4 months, I actually kind of stopped just because, you know, several reasons. But I do still I do blog. It's kind of how I started in all of this. I kind of learned a lot of lessons through all of this when it comes to blogging. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, it's based on whatever gets the most clicks. I don't know, having to have a controversial take or a hot take to get clicks. That's actually kind of why I walked away from it. But yeah, I mean, I've been following the Rockets really ever since 99. I've been covering them ever since 19 officially. So yeah, I mean, I feel like I know a lot, probably too much about the Rockets. Right now is a tough time for a lot of people because, again, a teardown is no fun. Rebuilding is not fun. But for me, it is because, you know, I like to be able to track the development, growth, and progression of the young guys.
Yeah, that's dope. That's dope.
See what you have. Yep.
All right, man. You make sure you follow at X Kings, bro, as well. Myself, JJ Maples 55 underscore MST. Follow, subscribe to the pod. When the Rockets turn around, we're going to have Ant back on. We got to let him have his victory lap, man, when they get it around. This definitely going to be a one-time thing. Ant, you brought it, man. We appreciate you for tapping in. We know it's late out there, 12:30 out there where you at. We appreciate you, man, and we are out of here.
Peace, y'all.
Appreciate it, fellas.